Are we on? The Bible tells us in Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5, says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Happy, and youth is an operative word there, because the older I get, the more I have grandchildren to the house, the more I realize why God has young people having children instead of old people like us. Anyhow, I digress. So are children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. Parents, take note. Quiver full. I forget how many is in a quiver, but it's more than two. So get busy. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are a gift from God. And this church, this fellowship, is extremely blessed. It seems that baby dedications here are as common as communion is in most churches. What a blessing it is, for me especially. This morning we have the privilege of Mitch and Sandy coming before us as a church family and presenting their daughter and dedicating themselves and Milana Aislinn Martin to the Lord this morning. But before we do that, I want to look at some scriptures and see some examples of baby dedications. Some examples of baby dedications and what it means to dedicate someone or something. And then how this applies to us and why would we do that? Because I fear, like everything else in our lives, the more we do something, the more complacent we get about it. Complacent means we're self-satisfied, we become self-satisfied, and we become unaware of possible dangers or possible consequences of not remembering or staying sharp. Careless is not giving enough careful attention to the details of something. So we don't want to become complacent in these dedications, and we don't want to become careless, and I'll show you why in a couple of minutes here. So what does it look like if we come to baby dedications complacent or careless? Well, if we're complacent and we're satisfied, we have this idea that we're coming this morning, we have this beautiful baby, we have her dressed up nice, we have a chance to get up in front of church and show her off. We're going to give her back to God. It's really, really nice sounding. It really sounds kind of holy and selfless. Maybe even kind of to the point where we're doing God a favor by going and doing this. So we come and we go through this service. The preacher ends up, Grandpa in this case, ends up asking us several nice, important-sounding questions that we answer, maybe without giving a whole lot of thought about the implications. And we leave here and we may never think about those answers again. And we go through life raising this child just like everybody else, not giving any thought of what we did way back then at church. Now this morning I'm going to talk to both the parents and the church, because you've went through this enough that the church has asked the question also. So it's just as serious for us as a body as it is for the parents. The Bible speaks to such casual carelessness. In Proverbs 20:25, it says, "It is a trap for anyone to dedicate something rashly or in haste or without thinking about it and later to reconsider his vows." Another translation puts it this way, "A man is trapped if he makes a hasty promise to God and then only later thinks about what he said." See, this is why I think it's important that we look at scriptures and we see examples of and the meaning of dedication and how it might apply to us here in the 21st century. Some examples in the Bible. Well, the first one I want to look at is found in Luke 2:22. And this is Mary, the story of Mary and Jesus, Mary and Joseph and Jesus going to the temple. It says, "And when the days of their," or her, "purification," according to the law of Moses, finished, the period of purification was around, I think, 40 days before she was allowed to go to the temple again. I think Milana is 39 days old today. It says, "After their day of after their purification according to the law of Moses finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The second example is found in Genesis 20. Just by way of a side note maybe here, she was taking Jesus to the temple. Have you ever thought about that? Did Jesus need to... She was just obeying the Old Testament law, right? She had no idea. Jesus didn't have to be presented to God, but she was obedient to the Old Testament law. The second example is found in Genesis 20, chapters 20 and 21. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. You know the story because most of you have it in your Sunday school lesson this morning, but if you're just to refresh us a little bit, Abraham and Sarah were around 100 years old. Had no children, wanted children. In fact, Isaac was promised, Abraham was promised that his descendants would be like the sand of the sea. At 100 years, can you imagine? No wonder Sarah laughed, right? Promised to make a great nation out of Isaac, or out of Abraham, out of his descendants. So, this was 100 years old when the angel came and said, you're going to have a child. Bible says, although good is dead. So you know the story. They had the child. In this morning's Sunday school lesson, we learned that God said, Abraham, take him up and sacrifice him. Said early the next morning. There was no hesitancy. Early the next morning, he loaded the donkeys down, took the servants and the boy, and took him up to the mountain to sacrifice him, or so he thought. You think Abraham was dedicated? You think there was a time of testing? You know the whole story, so I'm not going to go through it. What about the story of Samuel found in 1 Samuel 1? The story, not the story of Samuel so much, but Elkanah, his dad, had two wives. One was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. And the Bible says Hannah he loved. Didn't say anything about Peninnah. But Peninnah had children. Hannah did not. And, well, I'll say this as nicely as I can, but the two women fought. Peninnah would throw the fact that that Hannah was childless in her face. Did it all the time. Every year, Elkanah would take his family up to the temple to worship and for the yearly sacrifice. And it said he would give a portion of the sacrifice to his wife Peninnah and her children. But it says he would give a double portion to Hannah because he loved her more. One year, while they were there, Hannah, who had no children, was praying for a child. And she must have really been praying. This is what she was praying. She said she was deeply stressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed take on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, look at this promise. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head. And there's a whole reason why the razor, but... Can you imagine praying this prayer? That's what Mitchell and Sandy are going to do this morning. I will give him to you all the days of his life. Now, she was saying, God, if you give me a son, I will take him to the temple, and we'll see this later, but I will take him to the temple, and I will drop him off there, and he's going to serve you in that temple all the days of his life. She was saying, literally, giving up this child. But anyhow, she was praying this prayer, and she was praying so intently that Eli, the priest, he was looking at her, and he said she was stressed so much that she was praying in her heart, and her mouth was moving, but there was no words coming out. And Eli, the priest, said, woman, why are you drunk? Said, quit your drinking. He thought she was drunk, and Hannah said, I am not drunk. I don't drink. She said, I am so distressed. And she told Eli what she was distressed about. And Eli said, go, the Lord has granted you your request. And it's sometime after this, Samuel was born to them. because mama prayed. Samuel was born to them. In due time, they took him up to the temple, dedicated him to God. And here, she prayed again. I prayed for this boy. This is Hannah praying again. I don't know where the dad was, but said Hannah was praying. I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for, I now give the boy to the, for as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. This was Elkanah talking. Then he bowed in worship to the Lord there. She remembered, they remembered the promise to God. You give me a son, I'm going to give him to you. They left Samuel there for the rest of life. So there we have some biblical examples. So what does this mean to dedicate someone or something? Dedicate means to devote, to commit, surrender, set aside, or set aside as holy, given over to, or to simply give. Give to the Lord. So when we come together to dedicate a baby to the Lord, here's what we are doing. We are telling God that we are going to set this child apart. There's something going to be different about the way that we raise this child. Now, I didn't say it before, Jerry alluded to it, but this service this morning has very little to do with the baby itself, herself. Has everything to do with mom and dad. So we're saying, we're going to take this child and we're going to raise this child different than most everybody else in the world is. It's going to be something different. So, and number two, we're telling God we're getting ready to give this child over to your will. And that is really nice sounding until you start thinking about what God might ask of you. He might ask to send your 12-year-old son with this crazy old man halfway around the world. I applaud them. That's big. That's big. I'm looking forward to it, Cody. But think about all the things that God could ask of your child. And we're telling him, we're going to give this child over to your will, God. Number three, we're telling God that we're willing to surrender our will, our dreams, our plans for this child. What are your plans for your children? Is it maybe that they'll be the best football player in on the team, or the best ball player, or grow up to be a successful businessman, or whatever? We're telling God, and how many of you in here dedicated your children to in a service like this? Most of the parents. So this still applies to you. And there's still time to change course if you forgot what you dedicated your child to. It says, I'm willing to surrender everything that I have planned for this child so that you can use him or her for your will. That's big. When you stop and think about a parent saying, you know what, I'm giving up my right to this child. Furthermore, we are going to be actively training and teaching and preparing this child for a life of service to God. Do you know that just doesn't happen automatically? In fact, if you don't get intentional about training your child to be a servant of the Lord, they are just going to coast along, and most likely than not, they will become a lukewarm, half-hearted servant of the Lord. We have to become intentional about raising our children to be servants of God. It's intentional. It doesn't just happen. Mom, and especially Dad, you are responsible for how they turn out. There's a lot of variables in there. Hopefully you get what I mean. In surrendering this child, we are saying that whatever God has for this child in his or her life, we will not only bless, but we will encourage it. Again, that's really, really nice sounding, but let me just help you understand what this could mean. The question was asked in Sunday school this morning, if God told you tomorrow morning or told you tonight to take your child and take him out and sacrifice him, literally sacrifice him, like Abram was told to do to Isaac? Would you do it? The short answer is no, you wouldn't, because it goes against Scripture. It goes against the Word of God. Abraham had all intentions of taking Isaac, I believe, up to the mountain and kill him. Dead. And if God asked you to do that, would you do it? Would you have done it if you were Abraham? Look at the children sitting beside you. Would you have done it to them? Let me just suggest to you this morning that God is still asking you to do that. What if your child was raised in a godly home, raised intentionally to serve God, and God, you did all these things, gave him up to his will, and they were called to a Muslim country like Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan? That's like putting the firewood on their back and sending them off. That's like giving them a death sentence. Are you willing to not only allow that, not only bless that, but encourage your children to do that? And if you're not, I would ask, why not? Are those souls in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq not worthy of your child's life to hear the gospel? I am 100% convinced that this is what the Bible teaches. These 5 points up here. And if we're not willing to do that, then what we're going to do this morning is nothing but show. And what we did in the past is nothing but show. If we're not willing to be intentional about teaching our children how to be true followers and servants of God, and giving up our child to God's will, and bless them when they want to go to a Muslim country who hates, who wants to see Christians dead, then this is all pointless this morning. And every service, every dedication we've had before this is pointless. When we look at what dedication means, it's not a light thing. I probably said it here before, but I'll say it again. I remember my children's dedications. And we were young, pretty young. We were about 30 years old. But starry-eyed and had this cute little, well, they were cute, yeah. We thought they were. And we answered the questions and didn't think much about what we were promising until, as years went by, we've kept the certificates of dedication in a fireproof box with some of the other stuff. And as I dig through that, sometimes I run across these things. And I'm like, oh yeah, wow. And you know, because we have gone back and looked at those things, and because we did what we did, gave us a clear path of how to teach our children. And we think they turned out pretty good. That's just a dad's opinion. But we felt the weight of that. And we used those dedications as a guide in raising our two and preparing them for service. In effect, people, what we're doing this morning, and I've often thought we should do this symbolically at a wedding. Maybe we should do it at baby dedications too. Is what we're doing this morning is cutting the apron strings at a young age. I thought this a lot at weddings because I've seen many parents get in the way of their children's marriages because they didn't cut the apron strings. But here we're doing that symbolically this morning with our children. And if we're not willing to cut the apron strings, even at 39 days old, we won't be willing when they're 39 years old. And if we're not willing to cut the apron strings, that's the saddest thing I have ever seen in life. If we're not willing to cut those strings and let our children be who God calls them to be, if we can't let them go to fulfill the God's call in their life, then we may as well break their legs and their arms because we're crippling them just as bad. Today, Mitch and Sandy are promising God that they will train Milana and they will let her go for his purpose. Let me show you the seriousness of dedicating something to the Lord and then going back on your word. You remember the story of Jericho when the children of Israel crossed Jordan River. They went to Jericho and they marched around and around and around, that whole story. But before the last day when the walls fell, God said, when the walls fall and you go in, I want you to utterly destroy everything. But I want you to save the gold and the silver because that's dedicated to me. You take it all and you put it in the storehouse. Everything else you destroy. Let's see if I have this. Yep, Joshua 6:17. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord. And 18 then says, but you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them and take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. He said, if you make something and you take the dedicated things to the God and you go back on your word and take some of these things, you will make the camp, the whole camp of Israel, a thing for destruction and bring trouble on it. I have a little bit more to say about that, but not just yet. Because this is what they were supposed to do. But Achan, remember Achan? Achan took some things, and he dug a little hole under the rug in his tent, and he hid them. And God told the children of Israel, say, go up to Ai. It was just a small city. He said, just take 30,000 men, I think it was, and you go up there. No, I think it was 10,000. I think the second time was 30,000. I'm not for sure. But he said, you go up and take that city. So they went up, and they were beat back bad. I forget how many people was killed. And they come back. Had an old person's moment. The leader, Joshua, fell on his face before God and said, what's going on? They were totally defeated. Joshua said, what's going on? He was on his face. He was crying. He was crying out to God. Said, what's going on? And God said, he said, get up, Joshua. He said, the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Why are you on the ground? Israel has sinned. Who has sinned? I thought it was just Achan that took the devoted stuff, wasn't it? Did I get my story wrong? Achan took some stuff, but here it says, Israel has sinned, for they violated my covenant that I appointed for them. They have taken some of what was set apart or devoted. They have stolen and deceived and put things with their own belongings. Achan stole the stuff, and God laid the blame on the whole congregation. You see that? Israel has sinned. They did this. They did that. They're bearing the thing. All because one man went and went against what was devoted to God. So what are the lessons that we can learn from these stories in Scripture? Number one, it is right. I think it is right and is good that we dedicate ourselves and our children. It's good and it's right. It seems that for the dedication to be real, it takes a godly, praying mother to wholly surrender that child. Remember Hannah. A godly, praying mother to wholly surrender. You know, this is not in my notes, but it just struck me. I've been on the mission board for 12 years now. And there's really only two things that keep people from going to missions and bring people back home outside of God. The number one and two reason, one of them, I don't remember which is one and which is two, but one is money, not enough support. Anybody care to guess what the second one is? Mothers. More specifically, mothers have never cut the apron strings. And they keep after and keep after and keep after, and they weld the children down until they come home from where they feel God has called them to. Taking some of the devoted things. It takes a godly praying mother to wholly surrender her will for her child to God's will. Number three, God takes it seriously when we say we surrender something to Him and then we don't. And then number four, when we say we give something to God and then act like it's still ours, it is a corporate sin. Did you catch that? It's a corporate sin. It's not just a personal sin. Corporate means the blame comes to the whole congregation. So, Mitch and Sandy, if you're still willing to dedicate, to give, or to release Milana to God for His purpose, I understand if you don't, but because it's some heavy stuff. But if you do, I invite you to come forward. Also, I invite Darren and Becky and Jimmy, you can come forward. This is special, you know, to have your family here, especially Jimmy, all the way from Belize. It would only be more special if Mom and Dad could be here. Andrew, if you want to come front, Zeke must not be feeling good with all those teeth popping out. Oh, Grandma. Yes, I can't believe I'm married to Grandma. Oh, Nori, yes, I'm sorry. Where's Nori? Does she have the baby? I don't know. You have the baby. Well, Nori, if you can hear me, you can come in. Man, we could fill this stage up with my family yet. Let's see. Amos and Elaine and Noah and Carolyn. It's special to have my brother and his wife here. Y'all can come up too, just to surround this child and witness. Am I missing somebody? Never, when we moved here 20 years ago, never thought I'd see the day when Hershbergers would come close to outnumbering, or Martins would come close to outnumbering Hershbergers. Huh? Sad day. It is springtime and the Martins are coming back. So, Mitchell, I'm going to give you the microphone for a minute to say a few words.
We're thankful for a healthy baby that keeps us up at night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you name it, we're up. But yeah, I can think back to the time, maybe a couple of days before she was born, and we were like, oh, is she ever going to get here? We're like, never going to have this baby, but here we are 6 weeks later, and yeah, she's a real blessing for us. And I'd like to thank all the ones who brought us food as well. I was getting tired of making sandwiches all the time and cereal, but that's about my cooking skills there. But we covet your prayers as we do this new thing of parenting, I guess, and we'll give it a try. We can use all the advice we can get. Thank you.
Well, asking for advice is one thing. Taking advice is the hardest thing. Mitchell and Sandy Martin, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you recognize Milana Aislinn Martin as a gift entrusted to you by God to love, cherish, and train in righteousness? Do you pledge yourselves by the grace of God to be diligent and patient beyond the call of duty, to bring this child up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord through teaching and being a living example of Christian leadership? Recognizing the dignity and responsibility of parenthood and your dependence upon God's help for strength, help, and wisdom to faithfully discharge the duties of caring for this child, do you now present Milana Aislinn Martin in dedication to God? Okay, then having purposed in your hearts, do you in the presence of these witnesses solemnly promise to strive by precept and example and by the counsel of family and friends in the church to raise this child in the love and in love toward God, family, and others in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? And now, for you personally, having presented this child for dedication to God, do you also desire to rededicate yourselves, dedicate yourselves to Christ in the spirit of this recommitment to live exemplary lives, relying upon the grace of God to model Christ by your example. Basically, it means you're going to take a new look at your life and say, somebody's following in my footsteps. Is it your desire to then share your responsibilities with this congregation through inviting their prayers, counsel, and encouragement in Christian family growth? To you as a congregation, yes. As a member of this congregation, are you willing to commit yourselves to assisting Mitch and Sandy in surrounding this child with grace, love, and patient teaching, both by word and deed? Would you indicate if you can do that by standing? You want to look too? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. God, just in awe at the miracle of life. Thanking you, God, for this miracle. God, we thank you for Milana and the person that who she is and who she's going to be as she grows up. God, we pray a hedge of protection around her. God, as she grows up, God, would you protect her from the devil that wants to destroy her. But God, we know that you want to give her life and give her life eternal. And we thank you for that. And so, God, we ask that you keep her. God, and as she grows and becomes to the age of accountability, would you keep drawing her to yourself? Would she make a commitment early to become a follower of Jesus? God, I pray too for Mitch and Sandy. God, you heard their vows and their willingness and eagerness to commit this child to you. God, I just pray that they would have the strength and the fortitude to follow through with all that means. At times it feels like the good of the child is not at heart for some of the things they're going to have to do, but God, would you just give them the ability to carry through, to follow your will, and then God, when you call Milana to do hard things, that they would bless her and they would encourage her and even find ways to send her into the battle. Thank you for them, and thank you for this gift of life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here. I have nothing else to say. Unless someone has a word of blessing for Mitch and Sandy, I would invite you. A word of advice or anything you would have to say to them, I would give you that opportunity right now. Hearing none, you may stand and we will pray for dismissal. Lord Jesus, thank you again for being in our midst this morning. Thank you for the words of scriptures, the stories, all the examples that we can see in scriptures. Good examples, bad examples, but they're all examples of how you take care of us, how you want us to live, the things you want us to do, and even examples of ways not to live. God, we pray that the words given this morning would bring life, and that they would be uplifting. And God, if there's anything said that's not according to your word, God, would you just strike it? And again, I want to pray a prayer for Mitchell and Sandy and Milana. God, would you bless them in the days ahead? Go with us as we go from here until we meet again. Would you be blessed? Amen. You're dismissed.